The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Jumping right into it. I'm giving you the weather report to start right off. It's not raining, so let's move on.
And it's smoky.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so bad.
Well, coming down the hill, you can see it.
Okay. Well, we've got something going on. I thought I had the best day yesterday, and I woke up about, I don't know, it must have been about 2 or so, and I thought the day was sunk. You know, I live in a neighborhood that my direct neighborhood is 2 dead-end streets, and I think there's 14 houses on it. When I moved in, there were 2 liberals. Now there's 2 conservatives.
Oh.
And I woke up about 2 in the morning, and I had a feeling there's another liberal moving in. They're sneaking in the middle of the night. And, in fact, somebody had run over a skunk.
Oh.
That's what it was. Thank God.
What? Good morning, Nick.
Every morning's a good morning when you get my age.
Well, you know, at 102, you look pretty dang good.
Well, you know, it's I took care of myself. I never smoked cheap cigarettes or drank cheap beer.
There you go. It's, you know, the money is worth the investment.
That's right.
Well, good morning. We're at Poke the Hornet's Nest on, and we got to do this for Dad at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and KCNR 1460.com. There we go. We've done our mandatory required stuff. Nick, good morning.
I believe we've got a new listener in Mount Shasta, Jackie. I hope so.
Oh.
So yesterday I got up and I left town at 4 in the morning.
Wow. Now for you, now hold on, stop. For you, that's a good day. For me, that's waking me up 3 hours too early.
Yeah. Well, you're going to find out.
What time do you go to bed? Like at 6 in the afternoon?
You know, there's been a couple of times in the last few months I have gone to bed at 6:30 and I'm out.
Man, I tell you what, if I had to get up at 2 or 4 in the morning, I'd be in trouble.
I don't have to. I wake up and, you know, you lay there.
Well, when
for
you're
a
so full of energy and piss and vinegar, I mean, crying out loud, it just happens.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So 4 o'clock. Back to your story.
Okay. So I drive up to Castle Lake. I've got my kayak loaded up and I've got a little lunch packed and I'm going to get up there before the crowd shows up and I'm going to kayak on Castle Lake, and that's a beautiful little lake up out of Mount Shasta that I discovered about 50 years ago. So anyway, I get up there right at daylight, and you know, the Bend people have discovered Northern California. We're getting to be just like Bend, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And there was about a half a dozen campers and tents set on the side of the road, and you know, so anyway, I get up there right at daylight, and just as I'm putting my kayak in, somebody pulls up, and they've got a couple of those boards. Paddle boards. Yeah.
The ones you stand on.
And they had a pretty good setup. They had a van, and they got out their grill, and they're cooking breakfast and going to go paddle boarding. And I got out there, and I had the whole lake to myself for about an hour. Maybe about an hour and a half, and it was just beautiful. And the last time I was up there, it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And when I showed up, the Rastafarians had taken over. And there was a bunch of bare-chested women running around. And if you want the story on that, tune into Mountaintop Media this Friday. I can say things on there that I can't say on here. 7 in the morning with John Knight and I, right side of the news. But anyway, I'm kayaking out there, and then I hear the crowd show up. And they're yelling and talking loud and in a good mood. And I thought, there's the Rastafarians. And so I paddle around, and I've had enough. I wanted to go in. And it was probably about, well, I got there at 6. It was probably 7:30, quarter to 8.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the Rastafarians. They were having an Ironman type of a deal.
Oh.
Local there. And I'd say there was maybe 20 participants, aged, I'd say, from 20 to 35.
Yeah.
And they swam across the lake and back.
Okay.
Then they bicycled to the bottom of the hill. It's 9 miles, and it's a steep, windy hill.
Yeah.
And then they were going to run up to Heart Lake and back. And they were a nice bunch, nice clean-cut professionals, and they were just having a great time.
No, excellent.
And I got to talking to this gal there. She was, in fact, she turned out to be 82, or 2 years older than I am. And she lives in Mount Shasta for the last 40 years. And we had a heck of a conversation. One thing we had in common was rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, there you go.
She had been married to a doctor, and she was a PA. And she's been retired, and she knew all about medicinal medicine and stuff like that. We were having a heck of a conversation. And then we got to talking about gardening and stuff, and she is a master gardener. And she was telling me about her house, that it should be in Sunset Magazine. She's got it manicured and pretty flowers and stuff. And I started bragging about my berry patch. I've got what I consider a really nice berry patch. I've got boysenberries and two types of raspberries on trellises. And, I keep the canes cleaned out, and it's a wall of berries.
Really? And you haven't shared with me? Great. Thanks.
Next year, if you're nice to me through the broadcast this
that
year,
ain't gonna happen.
I might have you over.
That's not going to happen.
A boysenberry is a cross between a raspberry and a blackberry, and it ripens early. Around this country, you want fruit that ripens early because the sun dries it up. I tried blackberries, and they didn't work because it's too hot. So she told me that she has white raspberries. And I gave her my card and said, I'd love to get some starts. And she said, yeah. And I'm going to be going through Mount Shasta probably every 2 weeks for, you know, two or 3 months, because I go up and camp, or I go up and spend the day in the mountains. So anyway, we have a wonderful chat. We go walking over to the parking lot, and here's this three-wheeler. It looks to be about 8 foot long and about 3.5-4 foot wide, two wheels in front and one in the back.
Oh, yeah.
They quit making this 2 years ago, but it was manufactured in Oregon. It plugs into a 110. She rides it around Mount Shasta and up to Weed, gets on I-5 with it. So, and it was neat. I took a picture of it. I'd never seen anything like it before. And she explained that all to me, and then I headed on down the road. And I got down about a mile, mile and a half, and I see this piece in the forest that they've taken all the understory off and cleaned it up. And it's a blanket of ferns and ground cover, green ground cover. And I decided to take my chair and sit out there and read for a while. So I read for about an hour. And that's when I realized that the bend crew has taken over. I'm sitting there, and I'm about 75 yards off the road. And it was just one car after another going up to Castle Lake.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd never seen traffic like that. But, you know, with the COVID, they started vacationing up here, and that's what happened. They discovered us.
Yes, they did.
So, anyway, I sat there for a while, and then I had – up in Bend, they've got a lake called Havasaw, something like that, and they're all real proud of it.
Yeah.
And Signe, my wife and I, we took the kayaks up, and we went up there. And it was like you had to have a tag for the parking lot and people waiting for their turn to go out kayaking. And it was a small lake, and it wasn't anything special in my opinion. And I thought, boy, this is I don't want to come here again.
Nope.
I'd give up kayaking if that's the way it was. So I get in my car and I'm heading down the road and I'm driving like Grandpa because I am Grandpa.
Yes, you are.
And here she comes. She's catching up with me. So I got to the bottom of the hill and I flagged her over. And I said, maybe I could come over and get some of those raspberries now. She says, well, follow me. I had a tough time keeping up with her. But I got over to her house, and her landscaping should be in Sunset Magazine.
Wow.
It was just unbelievable. And she had to do some phone calling. She said, just go wander around. I took pictures and stuff, and I found the white raspberries. And they were just like sugar, and I got about 10 starts.
So next year I'm expecting some.
Okay, so I'm excited about that.
I put that on the radio, so you can't hide from it a year from now and go, oh, I didn't hear you say that. I'm telling you, a year from now I'm putting in a reservation.
And she and I sat on the front porch and talked for about two and a half hours, and I've never sat down that long and talked to somebody. So it was just a delight to meet you, Jackie.
Oh, good. There you go. Well, that's a good start to the show.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
So, you know, the name of the show, Nick, is Poke the Hornet's Nest, and I know we have some stuff coming up in the second half that we're going to be poking people, but what's going on locally? Because I got to be honest with you, I have not really paid attention to anything going local. I know you've got some clips coming up, but what's going on locally? It's kind of died down a little bit. I don't know if that's good or bad. Sometimes silence is deafening.
Well, you know, I tried to contact one of the people that's pushing this 1 cent sales tax. They're calling it the safety and infrastructure tax, and I didn't get a return call. I'm going to try and call Baron Browning. He's always been good about calling back, and there's a gal named Erica Jones, and they're the three spokesmen for it. But I can't find out who's paying for it, who's financing this push. It's citizen-led, and they claim it's specific, but it doesn't need two-thirds of a vote. It needs 50% plus.
Well, I think the reason why this one does not need the super majority, as it were, is because it's citizen done. It's not from the government. The government, like when Bassetti tried to do something similar, it was from the government being made, and it had to have a 61 or 60% or something like that, 63% or 67%. This one is citizen led, air quotes, and signatures and be put on the ballots by the citizens, and I think it's a 51-49 is all.
Well, right side of the news at Mountaintop Media, I was kind of wishy-washy whether I'd vote for it or not. Because if you're going to get your roads fixed and your infrastructure and your police and your firemen, and I've got the things it's going to go to right in front of me. I'll read them to you. This is the only way we're going to get them. But then again, this is calling for you to trust the government. And that is the catch. But let me read to you.
Well, considering we already have one of the highest paid governments in the state of California, I mean, we have plenty of money. We just spend it really badly already.
Yeah, well, see, this tax will raise probably about $30 million a year. And the first thing they're lying to us about, they're saying tourists are going to pay the biggest percentage of it, and I don't believe that. But here, the Redding Police Department will get 12% to spend on additional staffing, equipment, facilities for the Redding Police Department. Okay, good and fine. Here's one that's really a kicker to me. Shasta County Sheriff's Office, 12%. To be spent on custody operations and jail capacity of the Shasta County Sheriff's Office through agreement with the County of Shasta and the City of Redding. If the city and county cannot reach an agreement within 2 years, that allocation will be shifted to the Redding Police Department.
Oh, wow, there's a little incentive not to negotiate in there.
Just a little.
No, that's not true. I would say, I would think that Barner, the police chief, and the cops want a jail that kind of works, because maybe we can lock people up and they don't have to deal with them three times every single day. So there may be actually some
incentive
for them to actually come to a deal, because these poor patrol officers, you know, they're out there and they're dealing with the same exact people every day. So
if we could
lock them up, maybe that would take some of that load off of them.
There's not enough there to lock them up.
But no, I know.
Let me point something out. You know, the city of Redding wants, what is it, 29 acres south of town?
60? Yeah, off of West Side Road or East Side Road, off East Side Road down there.
City owned.
Yeah.
And they're still negotiating with the city. You know, 3 months later, they're still negotiating. Yeah. You'd think the city would be happy to give them that property because they're going to build an alternative custody program there. They're going to have trade programs there. And they're going to have it, the infrastructure in it plumbed for a jail when we can afford one.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't the city just give them that property? The city's not paying taxes on it. You know, this would alleviate some of the overflow at the jail.
Yeah.
And they're playing hardball a little bit, I can tell.
Yeah.
And so that kind of throws a little kink into your argument. I understand your argument. But
well, I don't understand my argument, to be honest with you, but I would think that the foot patrol, the cops on the beat, would want to see more jail capacity because that might actually give them a little bit more
absolutely
ability to do their job. So I don't know. The incentive, though, that if in 2 years there's no agreement, that money goes to the RPD.
And that's another $13 million, $12 million. Okay, here, the roads, 30% will be spent on the roads. What's 30% of?
Nine million.
Okay, $9 million. How much does $9 million pave anymore?
Not much.
That's right. So, you know, I don't think a lot. 9% to the parks, construction, improvement, and maintenance of city parks, and the Reading Sports Park, and the California Soccer Park, and South City Park.
So we're going to throw more money into this, the soccer park. And is that Big League Dreams, too, then, out there, or no?
Yeah, that's now the Reading Sports Park.
Yeah. So now who's actually managing that? Has the city officially taken that over?
Yes. Oh, yes. They've renamed it.
What?
From Big League Dreams to the city park. I don't know what's going on with baseball, but they do have hockey going on.
Yeah.
And
when the fields are in good condition, they had tons of softball tournaments out there. The fields let them get in bad shape.
People don't want to play on it anymore.
No.
They will if they have to. That's the only venue they have. But actually, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the city's fault. They didn't hold Big League Dreams feet to the fire and make them keep it up. Okay, you've got the Northern Riverfront public facilities. 9% will be spent on construction, improvement, and maintenance to public facilities at the Northern Riverfront, including the rodeo grounds, 3%, and the Civic Auditorium, 6%. Hmm. So out of that 9%, I guess they're going to get 3 and 6.
Well, they're going to dice up that $30 million into a lot of parts, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, and then 10% allocated to the city council to spend it on whatever they want to spend it on. But the thing about it is, I fear that it'll be just like the lottery in California. All this money's going to education,
all
but then
schools.
They pull back the funding they were giving them and let this replace it.
Yep.
And, you know, they might not do that for a couple of years, but sooner or later they're going to need some more money. I mean, Barry Tippin, I'm worried that he might not be able to survive this next winter on his almost $500,000 compensation package, and maybe we might have to go up to the Wild Horse Sanctuary and poach a deer and give him a hind quarter and a bag of beans to get through the winter.
$500,000 is not what it used to be.
Oh boy!
I'm telling you, that's tight pickings right there. You have to really cut the belt loops, you know, to spend $500,000. Good.
And it seems to me that could have been put in here, but this is an addition. The additional spending that's being spent now on these facilities will not decline. Something to that effect.
The problem is the unfunded liabilities and the salaries just keep going up. So every year the city has to pay more for these things. And so if they can bring this money in, I think you're right. You're going to see them.
Did you hear that? Doug said I was right.
I know.
Did you?
I'm telling you, big day today. But no, I think you're absolutely right though. Is, you know, as if this passes and the city all of a sudden gets this air quotes $30 million windfall, they're going to start pulling money back into their general fund because every year they're spending more money than they had last year.
So, you know, I've been complaining about the Reading Record Searchlight,
yeah,
a news cafe,
yeah,
and Shasta Scout.
Well, you have subscriptions to all of them, don't you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do. What's so funny about that? Don't you like to see what the other side's doing?
No, I don't. It wastes my time in life.
But, well, see, I've got a lot of time.
Yes, you do.
So, You know, and I complain about them because they're not honest. They manipulate and deceive you. When they deliberately deceive you, they're lying to you. I can point to numerous instances of all of them doing that. Shasta Anon came out with a, I'll call it a podcast, a video about the history of the Record Searchlight and where it's at now. And I would encourage you to go to ShastaAnon.com and listen to that. Click on that video. And there's, I don't know, 12 or 15 other videos of people that are kind of popular in town with the other side explaining, you know, their history, their personal history.
Well, I got to be honest. I think Shasta Anon is former CIA, Deep State, Green Beret Ranger, because when I watch the videos, the stuff they dig up on these people, I mean, old school pictures, just like, where the heck did they find that stuff?
Well, so it's very well researched.
And they're very thorough. This is their own stuff that they're showing that I guess is used against them. But, I mean, it's just, you know, it isn't like they just have a book that they can pull. I mean, they're doing some research. Whoever that is doing a heck of a job.
Actually, I haven't seen them try to persuade your opinion towards one thing or another. It's just, here it is. This is what this guy's about. Here's where he was born. Here's where he came from.
Yeah. No, I think it's been actually pretty straight up. And I mean, you know, you can form your own opinion, but a lot of the stuff that gets discovered is not necessarily flattering.
Oh, geez. You know what I've noticed is a lot of these leaders in our community that I consider liberal, Silas Lyons, let's see, you've got, what's his face, Christian Gardner, you've got Jeff Gorder, you've got a lot of these people are implanted from down south.
Yeah.
They all came from down south. There's a new guy. See if I've got his name here close.
Well, you know, back in the day, Nick, when I first started in real estate 27 years ago, the city of Reading actually was at one point, I believe New York Times named it one of the 10 worst building departments to deal with in the United States.
If not the worst.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, Shasta County actually was kind of good old boy-ish, and, you know, you would go in and talk to somebody, and they seemed to have a more, let's figure this out. And then over the years, they have brought people in from the big city.
Mike Warren.
I'm talking in particular at the Shasta County Building Department, and they're going to teach us local yokels how you're supposed to run a building department, and it has become one of the more difficult ones to deal with. So, yeah, we have had a lot of transplants, and it's not necessarily made our area better.
Well, there's a guy named David Ledger who immigrated up here from San Luis Obispo. What's that tell you?
Yeah, well, Cal Poly.
That's where Mary Rickert went to school.
Oh.
She claims she's a Republican, but she hasn't done anything conservative-wise.
No.
Silas Lyons. He was the first editor that ruined our paper.
Yep.
And, you know, he's from San Luis Obispo. Well, he started something. It's called SEA, Shasta Environmental Alliance.
Ah.
Shasta Environmental
Another scam.
Alliance.
I like it.
And he's in on all of the complaining. He was on Haw's ass about him wanting to put in his recreational facilities out there, change the zoning from farming to recreational.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Patrick Jones' rear end because of his gun range out there, you know, and that's only going to affect about six landowners out there. But, you know, now he's got them all behind him. Well, now he's involved with the riverfront down here, and countywide, or it might be just citywide, they want to start charging developers a fee for each tree they cut down.
Oh, I believe that.
Well, how's that going to work? Who's going to get the fee?
Well, it goes into the city and then it just vaporizes. But, you know, it's funny that these guys all have problems with other people using their property as they see fit. That's what liberalism
within
is.
Reason.
With it, well, I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, there's a corner there that at best you could put 20 homes on if that's what they want to use, save it for. Agriculture, I'm talking about Haas's property. Let them do that. If it gives the kids a local spot to go out and not be on a computer, why not let it happen? And the same with Jones. It's his property. He owns it. You know, private property rights is the cornerstone of our Constitution. And liberals just love this SEA. Sounds like it's one of those ones that's going to tell everybody what they can do with their property.
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you about one environmental thing that's been a disaster, in my opinion, and we're going to go to a break. with the endangered species, the endangered salmon runs, they have the winter run salmon, and the way they figure it's a winter run, that's the time they go under the Golden Gate Bridge. We used to call them spring runs. They have dwindled down to just about nothing. There's a hatchery up there. I think it's a Livingstone hatchery underneath Keswick Dam, but they spawn predominantly from, Old Turtle Bay up.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, Highway 44 bridge up. They've shut down, fishing up there for a certain amount of time to protect these fish so they can spawn without being hassled and this and that. Well, there's a guy named Randy Smith, and he took charge of cleaning up along the river and done a really good job up and down the river. And they put in a bunch of wood duck nesting boxes. They're up off the ground on a pole so raccoons can't crawl up there, or kitty cats or that kind of stuff, and get their eggs. Well, the hole's too good, too big, and the mergansers took them over. So now you've got about 10 family units of mergansers up there, which are fish ducks. And each of them has a clutch of little fish duckies of 12, 10, 12, 14, and you can see them up there fishing. They've got a lens that goes over their eyes. They stick their head under the water and swim around until they see something, and they go get it. And you would think they'd open season on those up there, or at least take those nesting boxes down. And there's another private residence up there that's got a whole bunch of nesting boxes.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
I called him up one day, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and tried to talk to him about it, and he got mad and hung up on me. But anyway, we're going to go to a break. Break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
And Redding Rancheria plays a good part in Redding, California, Shasta County. They donate a lot to this community. They have health centers and all kinds of stuff. We're going to go and start picking on the Russia-Russia collusion. I've got clips. Bottom line, Barack Obama was instigating. He was ahead. He was aware of the whole thing. He knew it was going on. He encouraged it. And I think we've got the goods on them. Now, Tulsi Gabbard has turned that over to
Pam Bondi,
DOJ, recommending prosecution against him, James Clapper, John Brennan, and Comey, the list goes on. So let's go with this first clip.
Fox News alert. We just got a peek inside Obama's black book, and it turns out Barack knew the Russia hoax was a hoax all along, but pushed it anyway to sabotage the Trump presidency. He and I, Tulsi Gabbard, declassifying pages and pages of documents, showing Obama's intel guys briefed them just weeks after the 16 election that the Russians didn't actually sway the election. Quote, we assess that Russian and criminal actors did not impact the recent U.S. election results. Criminal activity also failed to reach the scale and sophistication necessary to change election outcomes. But Obama just couldn't accept that. So he and his staff instructed intel agencies to cook up new reports to support Russia collusion. Quote, after the meetings, Clapper's executive assistant emailed intelligence community leaders, tasking them to create a new intelligence community assessment per the president's request that detailed the tools Moscow used and actions it took to influence the 16 election. Tulsi Gabbard described what she found as a conspiracy to subvert the will of the American people. And she says the people involved should be prosecuted and has made a criminal referral to the Department of Justice. We knew Hillary created the dossier, and now we have proof that Barack was calling the shots.
Wow. I saw that this week, and I always thought that was the case, not because I'm smart, just because you followed the dots. We have literally treason. Punishable by death, right now. That's treason to the United States. The safety and the well-being of the country was put at risk by this gentleman and his group of people. I've said it on this show. I've said it on Carl's show that if Trump's DOJ does not take these people and put their heads on platters, and I mean that in a literal sense, this is going to happen. And worse in the future. These people need to learn. And I mean, McConnell's in there. Mitch is in there. Or not Mitch McConnell. Who's the other guy? You got McConnell, the turtle, and who's the other guy? Anyways, there's Republicans. There are plenty of Republicans. Romney. If we do not hold these, Cheney, if we do not hold these people accountable.
Absolutely.
Accountable. If not create law. Just enforce it, and then the consequences be. And I also think another thing that we'll talk about in after two and three clips is I've said it that all their ill-gotten goods, they should be, not only should they pay the ultimate price, they should be stripped of every penny of wealth they've gotten and put it back into the general fund to pay back the American people. I mean, this is just, this is heart-stoppingly bad, and if Bondi doesn't do anything with it,
I don't see how you can say that about Dick Cheney. He worked real hard to get those no-bid contracts in Iraq for Halliburton.
For Halliburton, yes.
You know, and no, you want to take that away, his profits away from him on that?
No, I was referring to Liz Cheney in particular, because she knew from the get-go, as now has been proven, the J6 stuff was all hoax, 100% hoax. And they also have identified, I think it was 39 FBI instigators, liberal Antifa BLM people who actually got the crowd worked up in a froth. Not one of them got arrested. That's all been proven, and they know that.
Well,
and so if we do not hold those people accountable, arrest them now, put them in the J6 jail, treat them the same way as the J6 people, I am telling you, Nick, we're in bad straits.
Well, you know, I see this No Kings rally.
Yeah.
We need a king right now. We need a king to stand up and say, no, this ain't going to fly anymore. You guys are getting hung. We're straightening this mess out.
The problem is he's relying on Bondi, and Bondi is turning out to be quite horrible as an AG. I mean, we were promised the JFK files. We promised the Epstein files. I mean, the Epstein files. I mean, come on. Really? Are we really that stupid? Are we really that stupid all of these years?
Hey, they voted for Biden. Yeah, well, they're stupid. Hey, let's go to number two.
Please.
We don't want to run out of these.
Oh, on December 8th, a presidential briefing went out that Russia had not rigged the election or even influenced the election in any way, and Obama didn't like that. So he ordered the intelligence agencies to pursue Trump and this fake story with the full weight of U.S. intelligence as if Russia did rig the election. So the presidential daily brief goes out to Trump and Obama. Because he's coming in as the new president, it's the exact presidential daily briefing. Except for they didn't want him to see this, so then they went over to Trump Tower to meet with him, And that's when they slipped in the dossier, the fact that Russia had rigged the election. By December 9th, everybody was in her hot pursuit to remove Donald Trump. Let me go ahead and pull.
So what that means is that wasn't in the briefing, so Trump couldn't see it. So they go in after he's read the briefing and slip it in there like it was.
Yep. Now, you know what? If there is a liberal in this listening audience, if think of it this way. This is where you guys' level of intelligence lacks. Imagine if we did this to you. Imagine if Trump had gone out and put in something like this on Obama, your chosen godlike creature, and got away with it for at least 3 years anyways, because it ruined Trump's first 3 years in his first term. Imagine if we did this to you. Then all of a sudden you guys are going to start getting, whoa, and they're going to drop their, and they're going to start chewing on their tongue. You guys do this all the time. You lie about everything. And this is just another example of, I've said the worst president in United States history was Barack Barry Obama until Biden came along. And then,
Biden wasn't president. You know, the gal that's in charge of the auto pen had a deposition. She took the fifth
on everything.
And why would she do that? She's not making the decisions. Her job is just to run the auto pen. It's not like, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. That's her only job.
They're going to get away with it, Nick. That's the sad part. That's where my heart breaks. That's what keeps on. Like, these people are going to get away because Bondi does not have the balls to do anything about it. Epstein proved that whole thing, and they still haven't released the JFK files after 70 years. I mean, those people that were involved are all dead. So I know you have a couple more clips, but I just – my blood boils when I see this stuff and we don't do anything about it. They just carry right along because, I mean, Clinton needs to get arrested and put in for treason as well because she was all part of this thing.
Sure. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder how many lives they've cost. You know, we talk about Stalin and other people and how many lives they've cost. I wonder how many lives Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
I saw something on Benghazi. I saw something on Benghazi, speaking of Clinton, that I didn't know, and this is a well-documented, well-sourced thing, that the reason that she didn't send the military to save our ambassador and stuff is the ambassador was in Libya to go talk to, I think it was militia, because we had supplied Libya, the rebels, I guess it was, with American armaments. And it was one of our armaments that shot down a helicopter in Afghanistan and killed, I think it was 30 Marines. And so it was our machine, or our military
rocket
shot down one of our own helicopters and killed many, many Marines. And it was traced back to the Libyan rebels, and the ambassador went back there to fix it. And so she let him get killed because he knew about it, and nobody else was supposed to know about it.
Yes.
That's some stains on Clinton's hands that she'll get away with as well.
Well,
as she gets obscenely rich.
She's got plenty of stains on her hands. What happened to all that money down in Haiti after the earthquake?
So you have another clip. I mean, so we're on Obama. I mean, we'll stay with Obama because I cannot stand that human being. I see him and I get physically ill.
Let's have clip number three. We are popping, man. We got it popping today. Clip number three is coming up right now.
So these people have lied to Congress. They've lied to all of us. Let me just remind you of some of the lies that they were spreading about President Trump. And let's go ahead and watch this together. This is James Comey, former head of the FBI.
There should be no fuzz on this whatsoever. The Russians interfered in our election during the 2016 cycle. They did it with purpose. They did it with sophistication. They did it with overwhelming technical efforts. And it was an active measures campaign driven from the top of that government. There is no fuzz on that. It is a high confidence judgment of the entire intelligence community. And the members of this committee have seen the intelligence. It's not a close call. That happened. That's about as unfake as you can possibly get and is very, very serious, which is why it's so refreshing to see a bipartisan focus on that, because this is about America, not about any particular party.
So that was a hostile act by the Russian government against this country.
Yes, sir.
In that time frame, there were more than the DNC and the DCCC that were targets.
Correct. There was a massive effort to target government and non-governmental, near-governmental agencies like nonprofits.
What would be the estimate of how many entities out there the Russians specifically targeted in that time frame?
It's hundreds. I suppose it could be more than 1,000, but it's at least hundreds.
So.
Wow. Again, Nick, it's
lying to Congress, flat out lying. And we can prove he's lying.
I mean, there's the proof. You don't even need to get a grand jury. You don't need to convene anything. Arrest Mr. Comey immediately, freeze all of his bank accounts, make his wife destitute, and begin the criminal prosecution. And the only way he gets out of the ultimate treason is he turns over everybody else. And,
yeah.
he'll turn over because liberals don't have any backbone. They will turn on themselves and they will feed on each other. And so, what is that man walking around free? I am absolutely flabbergasted. How is he walking free with that? Same with Fauci. Fauci lied repeatedly. How is he walking free? You and I go across the street, we have RPD writing us a ticket for jaywalking. And these guys have killed people and done this to create treason, and they're walking free.
You are mistaken. Jaywalking's legal now.
Only if you're homeless or unhoused.
That's right. I was going to correct you on your vocabulary.
I know. Unhoused.
Okay, we're going to clip number four, and this is Donald Trump. And I believe this was just before or just after the 2020 election. Are you ready with clip number four? It's coming up right now.
Stage.
Because they came after me trying to do a coup. They came after me spying on my campaign. They started from the day I won and even before I won, from the day I came down the escalator with our first lady. They were a disaster. They were a disgrace to our country. And we've caught them. We've caught them all. We've got it all on tape. We've caught them all. And by the way, you gave the idea for the Logan Act against General Flynn. You better take a look at that, because we caught you in a sense. And President Obama was sitting in the office. He knew about it, too. So don't tell me about a free transition.
Okay, so there's President Trump in 2020 saying, we've got all of them. So all of this should have come out 4 years ago, except they rigged the election so that the DOJ would be led by Democrats, that Biden could get in, even though he had yogurt for brains. They would use him to allow them to do whatever they wanted, to cover up their tracks, cover up the Hillary story, cover up the Barack Obama incident. So this is really, really damning. Now, Steve Bannon and Jack Posobiec, they correctly point out intelligence is supposed to be used to inform the president and keep America safe. Instead, Obama turned it on the president and turned it on the American people. Let me pull.
And that's why they had to steal the election, because he had the goods on him. And they raided Mar-a-Lago on the pretense of him having classified information he wasn't supposed to have. And he was smart enough to have it hid from him.
Yeah.
And who was in charge of the
well,
DOJ?
Well, no, that's not true. Now you're lying. Apparently it was in Melania's lingerie drawer, because that's where the FBI looked for documents.
I don't know. Some of them FBI guys, they kind of look like perverts to me. Maybe they forgot their COVID masks.
Yeah, maybe.
But the thing is, James Comey's daughter, Maureen Comey, was in charge of the DOJ investigation on this. So do you think if they would have got those documents that they would surface now?
Well, I mean, and here's the deal. This guy is partially right, but this is Trump's failing, and he's done it again, is he surrounded himself with Obama holdovers. He had Comey. He had all the people. He put Jeff Sessions, whose first act was to show no spine as soon as they started doing this whole Russian hoax, because I'm sure if he had an AG with the backbone, they would have got to this in 2016 – going to 2017, but Jeff Sessions rolled right over and said he's going to recuse himself from this damn thing. Then, if Sessions wasn't a horrible AG, then he put Barr in there, and Barr did nothing as well. This was all stuff that was obviously, the documents were there in 2017, 18, 19, 20. If there was an AG that was worth a darn, they would have found it. And that just goes to show that Barr was a waste of time. Sessions was a waste of time. He had Comey in there. Then he put Ray in there. I mean, what was he thinking of putting in a minion of Comey in Comey's position? I just don't see that he has the people around him now. I mean, I had hope for Patel and for Bongino. But
I haven't given up hope. Give him time.
Name one person that has been arrested or being held to account. One. Just one. That's all I ask you. And I, my country is dying and I'm watching it. And the reason I do this show with you is I'm trying to give people maybe information they don't easily get because they're living their life and they're working their 50-hour weeks just to pay their bills. And when I bring stuff into you, Nick, I want to bring it not just regurgitate what everybody else is talking about, but I have an opinion. And this is the opinion. Is this stuff right here, it's black and white. There is no need to not arrest these people. They should be at Obama's house while we're talking and arrest that son of a gun right now.
I couldn't agree with you more. And they should arrest Jill Biden. You know, they had a handwriting expert look at Biden's signatures, the ones that he did sign, and she does her B different than Joey does, and come to find out she was signing documents.
Isn't that weird?
Oh, who would have thought?
Well, there's precedent for that. What was the president that the last 2 years of his presidency, he was pretty much comatose, and the wife ran the whole thing? Is in the... I want to say the 20s or something like that. So I'll find it out and bring it on the air. But yeah, there was a president. There's precedent for this. The president actually was not seen in public for 2 years, and the first lady's one that signed and orchestrated the whole thing.
I don't think I'm going to be able to eat yogurt again every time I think about it. That's what Biden has for brains.
We are living in the, if we do nothing, we deserve our fate.
You know, we've got some good things going on locally here. Simpson College, and I just cut the tail end of the show on Carl Bott's show. I don't even know who the guy was from Simpson College. They're giving half off tuition for anybody local within 35 miles to go out to Simpson College.
Make it 100. Make it 100 miles.
Well, why don't you? Well, I don't know. It wasn't.
I'm saying get people from Mount Shasta.
I think that's a good deal.
And yeah, I think it's great.
Subject came up is, you know, kids, they leave Reading and go to college and they never come back.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
It's called life. It's been going that way since the beginning of time, but continue on.
Well, my son's 36 now, and I was very involved with school activities and his friends and this and that. And a lot of those kids that I saw were being raised by single moms,
mm-hmm.
and they went away to college, and they didn't come back because they didn't want to come back and deal with their mother. Really?
I believe that. I believe that.
You know, they finally got a little freedom.
Family's great at a distance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I got to say, you gave me a vision. I could see you being involved in school activities, and you're out there in elementary school, and you're having a conservative talk with little Johnny Smith. I could see that playground. Hey, Johnny, let me tell you about the principal.
Hey, you know what? I went on all the field trips, and we were going up to Lassen Park on a field trip, and there was, I don't know, four or five women volunteers and teachers and a couple bus loads full of children. And every one of the females came up to me, Mr. Gardner, we've got a problem with Johnny. He's misbehaved. We're going to stick him with you, okay? So I got a whole crew of these little monsters. And we did pretty good. Let's go for a walk. We walked all the way around the lake twice. I wore them out.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I was a youth counselor, speaking of that, at a camp when I was a senior in high school. It was 5 days or something like that, and I was the lucky white guy who got all of the inner-city black kids.
Oh, boy.
I don't know why. All the other kids, you know, other counselors got, you know, mixed or white or, you know, whatever. I got all the black kids, and I came in that thing, and these kids looked at me like, what is this cracker doing? And I just laid the law down, and I came down on those guys like a ton of bricks. And by the end of the week, when it was time to say bye, all of them were crying. And I think it was the first time in their lives they had any discipline. I mean, we had to go to bed by a certain time. If I heard a peek, we got up, we did push-ups. I mean, we did stuff. And I mean, I wasn't a jerk to them, but I'm just saying, when you mentioned kids, those troubled kids, all they're looking for is somebody that just tells them the word no.
Absolutely. That's right. They just run amok. They've got no parental guidance.
Yeah.
The parents could use some guidance.
Well, as I said, just thinking about you going on all these school things, I could just see you having a little cornering little Bobby in the corner going, hey, let's talk about the President Reagan right now.
No, I was very well behaved.
I bet. Well, back then it wasn't politically correct. You could say whatever you wanted. Nobody turned you in.
So what's your take on the Green Fire?
Well, it's from what I understand, it's mostly up in undeveloped for federal lands, and the federal government is stupid in its nature because environmentalists are stupider and have told them that they need to let nature take its course. And so it just seems to be burning. Doesn't seem to be doing any infrastructure, you know, houses and stuff like that. So I think it's just going to continue to burn for a long time. And eventually here, our luck is going to run out. We're going to start getting the winds again. Well, and that's when it's going to run if they don't put it out.
You know, I talked to a friend of mine, and I remember on the show last year, I played a clip from this guy that seemed to know about the fire up here off of I-5 and how it just kept burning and burning and burning. I'm familiar with that ground out there. And it's straight up and down.
That's what I'm saying. They can't really fight it.
So they use a box theory. They take and cut containment lines in a box around the fire, probably on the top of the ridge, because the only flat spot up there is when you have 1 foot on each side of the ridge.
Yeah.
And they do their containments all the way around it and let the fire burn to it.
Mm-hmm.
My friend told me he thought the box was too big, but what's he know? And that is, you know, if they were logging up there, all the timber's down in the draw, down in the bottom.
Yep.
It's burning off the tops, and it's scrub oak, and it's brush. And, you know, you can't go down in there on foot and attack it, because if you get overrun, you've got no place to go for safety.
No.
So, you know, hopefully they're doing the best they can. And I don't see any other way you could fight that fire.
No.
They've got a lot of air resources there. I was coming down I-5, and there's a helicopter out from Idaho coming down here. And they're staging just north of Shasta Lake City.
Wonderland Boulevard every time. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, you know, the thing is there is times, moments, occasions when, in fact, the terrain is too tough to fight. And this is one of them.
Absolutely.
I will say one of the things that I am absolutely amazed with. These guys need superhero capes. Men or women, I don't know who they are, but those dozer drivers, have you ever seen, when you talk about the top of the bluffs, those dozer roads that they cut in during fires? I mean, they're like vertical down. You're like, who the heck is going to drive a D10, Caterpillar, bulldozer down those hills and make cuts in? So they can't even get the dozers up there that high. You're saying on the top of the ridge is what you're suggesting. I don't think they can get dozers up that high right now.
Oh, they've got roads that go up to the top of the ridge. Not every one, but, you know, there's usually a main artery they can take off. It's amazing what a caterpillar would do. I ran caterpillar in the woods for a few years. They call it cat skinning, and I've been on steep ground.
Man.
And it's amazing what a cat will do, the ground you can go on. It's amazing the bind you can get yourself into.
Oh, I bet.
But need a cat to come and help bail you out. I flopped a couple on their side.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good man.
Yeah.
Well, no, so that's what I think is happening there. They really can't fight the fire, so they've just got to let this one burn, and so the smoke's going to be with us for a long time, is my opinion.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual. A neighbor that I had that's passed away, his father grew up here. He said in the summer you could always smell smoke in Redding.
Oh, I bet.
You know, that's when it was natural.
Well, yeah, that's when, well, you know, and then you look at the, you know, the land, stewardship that's provided by SPI. And if you get an airborne, it looks like a chessboard out there, because there's a lot of clear cutting that provides the breaks that these guys are hoping it gets to as well. So, eventually it will hit some private land that's maybe been maintained, but I think that this fire is going to be with us. And like I said, we've been kind of lucky. For the summer, we've actually been very lucky. We have not had any wind events. If we get a good wind coming in here, that fire is going to take off.
You know, the scary fire season is September and October.
I know.
End of November. That's the scary.
Paradise was November.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we're not, I mean, we're a long shot now out of it. That one there, I think, could spiral out.
And make no mistake, they make mistakes fighting fires. I remember a fire up at Bernie, and this was 40 or 50 years ago. It was out by Johnson Park, and they spent a ton of time building this big old huge fire break, you know, maybe 100 yards wide and maybe 10 or 12 miles long, and they go to backfire it, and they backfired the wrong side of the fire break. Yeah. I suspect they just got transferred.
Yeah, that's an oops moment. Sir,
why? But everybody makes mistakes.
I make a mistake when I get up in the morning sometimes. It's just,
they had that controlled burn over in Lewiston in July to burn off 2 acres of star thistle, and they burnt the whole town down, maybe about 78 houses.
Yeah.
Hey, I think we're getting pulled over. I see a yellow light on and off flashing.
Yep, that means I think we're at the end of the show here pretty soon.
Oh, I thought the police didn't look something with Ted.
Well, yeah. Well, Nick, it's going to be a nice hot day today. A little bit of smoke. Stay cool. And
I think it's supposed to cool off into the 80s.
I think we're going to be in like the 80s this week. That's going to be awesome. It's going to be very nice for July to be in the 80s in Redding, California. So,
If you miss me, Mountaintop Media, Friday morning, 7 o'clock. I'm there.
Be square. Have a great day, guys. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.